Today we're going to be talking about the Miami Dolphins game on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals, the game that was deemed Tank Bowl 2 early on in the season. The Bengals, however, finally got a win. They are on a two-game losing streak now, and the Miami Dolphins also on a two-game losing streak. They've been updated now to pick number 3, and a loss could definitely help them in draft order. We were told to have Eric Wiedeka, but due to my own scheduling issues, instead we have a different Eric, Eric Roddy from the Pro Football Network. Would you like to introduce yourself here to everyone at FIU?
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on, and didn't realize I was replacing another Eric. Hopefully I'm the better Eric today, but been working with Pro Football Network since December of last year. I can't believe it. I'm excited to talk about what's going to be the worst football game we've seen in the last decade. And I'm just happy to be on here and happy to be joining a friend.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be the worst game in the decade. I'm actually going to this game on Sunday, and recently, which is, yeah, I mean, we're sitting way, way in the nosebleeds. We're in like section 322, row 27. We're all the way up there, and they cost like $36 to go, but like, I couldn't miss the game, and there's like 9 of us going.
You can move down after one quarter.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Like, no one's going to be there. But I'm a little worried now because there's a lot of rain here in Miami. Today was an extremely rainy day. I live pretty close. I'm about 20 minutes away from the stadium. Really rainy today. It's supposed to be 100% chance of rain on Sunday, which in Miami, of course, weather is never 100%. But factoring in the rain, a lot of people have started to tweet out on Twitter if they think that the conditions are going to be a problem. This is already supposed to be one of the worst games of the season. Do you think that this is going to become even worse if it is extremely stormy here in Miami?
Yeah, I think it's going to be good news for the people who want the Dolphins to lose, those Dolphins fans who team tank. What does rain do? It turns it into a running football game. That's Miami's biggest weakness. I think they're either last or 31st in the league in rushing. I think they're last. And what are the Bengals actually good at? It's running the football when they do it well. So, I mean, they're not good overall. They're 1-11 or 1-12. But
1-13.
1-13. Oh my gosh, they just keep. But Joe Mixon's look good. He's gone over 100 yards the last couple weeks. Obviously, he's questionable. We're going to see what happens. With him, but if it's a rainy, ugly, muddy football advantage, Bengals, which is good because the Dolphins can't stop the run and they can't run the football. They can't pass. It's the Bengals actually become the favorite.
Yeah, I think if it becomes extremely muddy, you mentioned it right there, the Dolphins suck at running the football. This is something on I think every article almost this season that I've done for the South Florida Media Network and FIU, I've talked about it literally every single article about the run game. And it seemed like things were getting a lot better once Mark Walton started to be the bell cow running back. And then, of course, he just can't stay out of his own way and eventually gets released from the team. It's since he left, a lot of people thought Patrick Laird was going to be that guy. Patrick Laird did have, I think, a good couple of games, obviously not consistent running, but you could see that, okay, maybe with more consistent touches, he would kind of get there. He got more consistent touches last week, and Myles Gaskin was running the ball better, which came out of nowhere. And on top of that, a lot of people, and when you look at the stats, it doesn't look that bad in terms of rushing. I think both of them did okay running the football, but a lot of that came in garbage time. There was a huge draw that Myles Gaskin had towards the end of the game in garbage time that went for, I think, a first down plus. So it's not consistent running, and that's one thing that they've lacked. I asked Corey last week, out of all the running backs that are coming in this season that are going to be in the NFL draft, or even those that are in the free agency market this season, you're going to see maybe an Austin Eckler, a Melvin Gordon. Looks like that deal is not going to get done with the Los Angeles Chargers. Do you think that Miami is going to look more towards the draft for a running back, or do you think that they might sign a high-priced free agent?
Yeah, I think what do we know so far about Flores and O'Shea is that they want involved in the passing game. That's kind of why I think they ultimately turned away from Ballage. Just wasn't getting it done. Obviously, wasn't getting done running the ball, but he also, we saw him drop how many one led to that pick six on that one play is just awful. So I think they're going to go after a pass catching back. And I think with the amount of draft capital they have, assuming they don't need to trade up, which if they lose this game this week, they won't. I think they're going to use one of those draft picks or maybe even two draft picks on a running back. And then obviously maybe kick the tires on a free agent who doesn't break the bank. I don't see them paying for a running back when there's guys like Jonathan Taylor and Dobbins from Ohio State, Akers for Florida State. I mean, this class is loaded with running backs. There's first round talent well into the second or third round. So I don't think it's in Miami's plan. It just doesn't seem like a move Chris Greer and Flores would do at this point, seeing that they've been doing the opposite and actually stocking draft. I can't see them making a play and paying a big free.
Yeah, I'm glad you say that. I'm one that is really not on the side of signing a big free agent. Of course, a guy like Melvin Gordon is someone that a lot of Dolphins fans have talked about. And I would say the toxic side of Dolphins Twitter, to be honest with you, although a lot of people would argue that all of Dolphins Twitter is toxic. But I'm not on the high-priced free agent. You named the same couple guys that Corey named last week, and it seems like the consistent thing I've heard from a lot of Dolphins fans is J.K. Dobbins. You know, I would say a lot more about the draft than I do. You went to the draft last season, I believe, right?
I did.
Yes, in Nashville. For the running backs, you mentioned Jonathan Taylor. You mentioned J.K. Dobbins. Last week, we talked about Travis Etienne. You mentioned Akers from Florida State. Do you think that the Dolphins spend one of those first round picks, or do you think it is going to be one of those later rounds?
Yeah, I'm lucky enough I got to go to the draft last year and got to talk to Josh Jacobs, and I think there's so much depth at this position in this class. I just don't see them going in the first round. I think pass rusher, maybe a guy like Penn State Matos. I think a guy like that.
Uter Gross Matos, I think is how you pronounce it.
Exactly. Yes. Sorry, CX. It's got too many names. A guy like that, I see him going after a line in the first round and obviously taking a quarterback. In some way, I think those are going to be those three picks, assuming they don't have to use one to pass. And then I could see them going as high as the second round for a running back, especially if somebody like a Jonathan Taylor or a Cam Akers. I mean, one of those guys is going to fall in the second, if not multiple of them. I don't think we'll see five, six running backs go in the first round. So no, I would almost bet the house that they don't take a running back in the first round. That's just my opinion.
Right. I don't think that's going to happen either. A lot of mock drafts that I've seen have J.K. Dobbins or DeAndre Swift kind of being that pick in the second round. The big thing, a lot of Dolphins fans are talking about it. I mean, first, strictly, I want to ask you this before I get into even the quarterback talk. Right now, as it sits, it's Bengals, Giants, Dolphins. If the Giants land in that second pick, it's almost a lock. If he comes out of the draft, of course, a lot of people are saying he's going to and Chase Young. It's almost a lock that he goes to New York at two. Do you think that the Dolphins maybe lose this weekend? Lose against the Patriots, which seems to be obvious in week 17. And then do you think that the Bengals push themselves out of that top contention, or do you think that it's a lock? This is going to be the top three come the end of week 17.
I don't see any other team squeaking in there. I think it'll be these three in some way, shape, or form. Obviously if the Bengals lose Sunday in Miami, that's it. I think they're the lock. I think that, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that they would have that even with two wins. I think they're the interesting thing is Miami gets the two pick, they're guaranteed, if they assumingly they're guaranteed Burrow or Tua, should they. It's when they fall into the 3, 4, 5 range, that's where things get interesting, because if you do like Tua and he's your guy, or Burrow, you have to think about jumping up to two, because you know other teams are going to go up for this guy, and you can't just sit tight. So I think this is a huge week. I think we'll know a lot more after this week, obviously, because two of the three worst teams are playing each other. We'll get to see what the Giants are doing too. Maybe Eli can get him another. Unless I'm not sure if this after this week we'll know a lot more. I would be shocked if it's not Giants, Dolphins, Bengals, and someone.
Right. I mean, I think that that's going to be the final three. The way I was saying is, do you think it's going to kind of stay that way? I think Daniel Jones is coming back and starting. I think that's a wise thing as well. Even if he wasn't ready, I think you bring someone else in. I think letting Eli go out the way that he did. I'm a big Eli Manning fan. Giants are my second favorite team, so I liked seeing it. Although the Dolphins did lose, I think you let Eli go out the way he did, and don't kind of mess it up. Let him go out at least at 500. In the quarterback talk, it seems like Joe Burrow is a lock for number one. I think people would be absolutely stunned if the Bengals chose someone else. But of course, come draft time, come the actual, getting into February and March, you see a lot of things start to come out. You see a lot of random prospects start to come out, or maybe not random, but random to the media, not more so towards teams. But the big name that has been the big name all season for Dolphins fan has been
Tua.
Tua Tagovailoa. Exactly.
Sorry.
No, you're good. It's been the name. It's been the thing. You were a part of the tank crowd, tank for Tua. You were down in it. I think you still are fine with it. After we had got you on the Win with Flores train, you started to tear right back into the tanking train. Do you think that injury concerns, I mean, let's put those aside because that's going to be the conversation no matter what. If he gets healthy, if he gets back to being the player that we saw at Alabama, and a lot of people, I'm one that's not on the Tua Tagovailoa side, and I want to say this really quick before you answer here. I think a lot of people have argued that you could be talented at Alabama no matter what, and that any quarterback could do it. I would disagree because there have been a lot of quarterbacks that have gone there with the same exact talent that Alabama always has, and they have not produced the same numbers, even if I'm not on the Tua Tagovailoa train. That being said, do you think the Dolphins should just go for it, regardless of anything? Draft Tua, don't even take a second thought about it.
Before the hip injury, I would have said yes because I would have, no qualms, no restraints. I don't think that's how they're going to do it. I think they're going to, I mean, there's teams of 15, 20 guys whose you know everything about every single player in the entire draft. So I think, first of all, he hasn't declared, which obviously I think he's going but I think what's going to happen, I think Miami's going to do their due diligence as they should. We got to see how the board shakes out. We got to see where they're picking to begin with. If I'm the Dolphins and his medicals check out, and they say, hey, he may not be able to play his first year, but all signs are going to be good. He'll be 90 to 95% of what he was before the hip injury come 2021, 2020. I'm doing it, no doubt in my mind. I'd do it as high as two. If you think he's going to be the guy for you guys, and as for the talent thing in Alabama, nobody's saying Joe Burrow's got all the talent. And arguably the second, if not tied, wide receiver class in college football behind Alabama. A great defense that's playing really well right now. He's got an amazing coach, amazing coordinator, and Joe Brady. I mean, the guy's got everything. I don't know what more you want him to have, and nobody's saying that. All they're saying is this guy's risen from the ashes, and he was a three-star begging for teams to take a look. I don't like that argument. I think it's BS. I think you scout the player, you don't scout the Tua, for me, the number one trade I look for in a quarterback when I'm looking at his accuracy, and the guy's got it. You can't teach accuracy. Josh Allen still hasn't learned accuracy, and look how they're doing with him. So give me the accurate quarterback. Give me the guy who knows the offense better than anybody else, and that's Tua. I'm taking him at two. Let's do it.
Although I'm one that, look, I haven't liked Tua. I think that he's had injury concerns before this with the ankle. Even though there, I saw some people early on in the year try to argue that Tua had never had an ankle injury in his entire life, which was laughable to me because he has had previous injuries. I think that, look, even though I'm not someone who likes Tua completely, and I want to see, we haven't been in this game, Roddy, for a while in terms of drafting a quarterback and being able to actually look
Right.
at prospects. So that could also do it. I mean, 7 years of absolutely nothing. The
Right.
last quarterback that Dolphins, or the last, I guess, quarterback class Dolphins really looked at was the Rosen, Mayfield, Lamar Jackson. A lot of people wanted Lamar Jackson, thought the Dolphins should have traded up. I'm one who thinks still that the Dolphins should have traded up to try and get him. But of course, situationally, everyone wants to argue you have to have the perfect situation, whatever it is. They should have traded up for him regardless. But I think the same, you mentioned it with Joe Burrow. No one's arguing this talent he has at LSU. the coaching that he has at LSU. Ed Orgeron somehow goes to LSU when he was right there in USC's hands. And Joe Burrow has been a star, and he's had the talent around him. And that argument has never come out. You hit the nail on the coffin right there. No one has argued that. I haven't seen it at all. And that's all that people have been arguing with Tua. And even people who don't like Tua can sit there and have to really look at it and say, we haven't seen a quarterback out of Alabama in a really long time that has done what he's done, even with the talent. The talent has always been the one that goes out. I mean, Amari Cooper comes out, and they're talking about Amari Cooper. They're not talking about the quarterbacks. I can't remember who was the quarterback of Bama at the time, but he's done it. He has been transcendent.
Right. And
sorry, yeah.
And the other thing to remember, this team's got nothing to lose. I mean, you got three first-round picks. What would really be detrimental to me is we pass on Tua the first time. He say, oh, crap, let's spend one of our first-round picks to go get him. I don't like to give up picks, especially not in rebuild mode. So the worst thing possible would be to give up some of those picks, especially. But if you take them and you know what, he just is never the same. Never. Guess what? You got two first-round picks in 2021. Thanks to the Texans. Take another quarterback, then take Justin Fields. Obviously, it's easier said than done. Those guys are going to go higher. But the point is, we have the ammo to do what we need to do back, even if it doesn't work out the first time. I've been defending the Josh Rosen trade to this day. Even yesterday, I was defending it. I don't care if the guy never plays another snap for us. We took a risk on a franchise arm, a franchise talent, with a second-round pick that we acquired by trading back in last year. Anyone who says, oh, we could have had Chase Winovich, get out of here. I mean, you had a chance at a franchise guy, even if it doesn't work out. Brilliant move by the Dolphins brass, and I loved it. So the point is, take a QB until it works. That's what the best teams do, so let's do it.
That's the exact question I was about to ask you to finish the entire thing off was, do you think the Dolphins made a mistake trading for Josh Rosen? I love Josh Rosen. I loved him coming out of the draft. I still like him now. And I still think that there is some plan that Dolphins fans don't know and that the media doesn't know. And that even if they draft a quarterback, which they should, no matter what, they should draft a quarterback, especially in the first round, that they will be competing together. I don't think that the Dolphins are done with Josh Rosen, especially because even though Brian Flores isn't saying amazing things, when you listen to it, he is saying like, he's progressing. He's getting better at this. We're liking this. We're liking the fact that there are these things that we didn't like that he is getting better at, that he's been putting on a positive attitude, that he hasn't been the person that he was accused of being coming out of UCLA when they traded him in the first place from the Arizona Cardinals. So I think that there is some different plan, but no matter what, they have to draft a quarterback. I don't think that you go into it just putting pieces around him.
And I just don't get the people who are upset about it. The guy costs, what, $1.5 million? I don't even know what he costs.
I think it's like 2.3 or something like that, but okay. I can get that for you right now, actually.
Matt Moore, we were paying more to sit on our bench. I just don't get the argument people are saying, well, we wasted a second-round pick. That second-round pick would be doing nothing on this team. He might even be on the injured reserve the way it's going for us. I mean, that's just how bad this team is. When people say, oh, it could have been this player, could have been that player, yeah, or it could have been a franchise quarterback, and so far the jury's still out. That's the beauty of it. We may get to see him under center, legitimate O-line, and a healthy Devontae Parker, healthy Preston Williams. Who knows what's going to happen? And guess what? Next year he's going to cost the same amount. So anyone who's upset over losing a second round, tell me the next second round pick that we hit on that's such a stud that was life changing.
I mean, yeah, that's people have been getting so mad. I see you arguing with people all the time on Twitter lately, and it's actually been kind of funny. There was one guy you were arguing with the other day. I think it might have been yesterday that you just kept quote tweeting his tweets and he was coming back at you. But the the final terms for Josh Rosen, since he was traded away, the Cardinals eat a lot of that bonus. They eat a lot of that cap. So the cap hit will only go as high as $2.8 million in the year 2021. That's when he'll be 24 years old. The Dolphins have complete control of his rights until 2023 when he would be a unrestricted free agent. So,
here's what I'll say. If they don't know who their quarterback is, we got bigger problems. So no problem.
Right. And
it's either going to be him or it's going to be the guy we draft.
Right. And they took a complete risk, obviously, with Josh Rosen, but they wanted to, there's, I mean, there have been so many people that have talked about, oh, you've already seen what he did in Arizona. Why would you do this? Oh, we've seen what he's done here. Why would you do that? Look at what Ryan Fitzpatrick is doing now. Look, Ryan Fitzpatrick, although a journeyman.
Those are the same people saying Brian Flores can't coach.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Like, Omar Kelly.
Omar on Twitter.
Yeah.
Exactly. Those are his following.
It's stupid because Rosen last year, there's no way you could give a talent evaluation. Even now with Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray has been playing pretty good, I have to admit, and Corey Ashburn's going to love me saying that. There have been times where he's played good.
I thought he's been awesome.
Yeah. And they're still not good. Even with him at the helm, right. He still hasn't changed what they are. They're still not good. I think that Cliff Kingsbury has done actually a pretty good job, different than what I thought he was going to do in terms of the talent that they have. But he still hasn't done a great job. He still hasn't been game-changing in terms of wins. And even this year in the games that Josh Rosen played in, I attended one of them, and he still hasn't been amazing. He's still like, it's not that it's him, but the talent around him. You couldn't ask him with that offensive line, with the talent that we had, with no running game. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been our leading rusher. It's in almost every game now. He has been dealing with the poor offensive line. Even when the offensive line was getting better, it seemed like the offensive line got better a little bit during that, you know, mid-year, and then they started playing worse football in certain, like, the offense. You need to see him with some actual talent, in my opinion. If it still doesn't work, you took a good risk. He's under your control until 2023, and that's perfect. You have him locked down. That's at least a serviceable backup.
Low risk, high reward.
Exactly.
It's kind of decisions you want your front office to make.
Exactly. And that's something that they hadn't done in forever. We haven't seen that in a long time.
No, we're giving Lawrence Timmons $10 million a year to disappear. I mean, this is the first time, and this goes to a larger issue, which is, can you trust Chris Greer? And this is the first season we've seen Greer control. And so far, all he's done is unload our heavy contracts to old veterans who obviously don't have. He's unloaded those. He's traded players who didn't want to be there for enormous overhauls of capital. And he took a risk on a guy who went 10 overall, who could be a franchise quarterback for nothing.
Right. And I think
so. I'm giving him a stop.
Yeah, I think he's done great. And the thing that a lot of fans have missed on a final note here is with Chris Greer, they're extremely judgmental. But they have to remember that one thing that the Dolphins front office faulted on for years was that, and a lot of people have said, oh, Chris Greer has been there. That's fine, but he hasn't been in charge. And even when we had certain front office people in charge, they never clicked with the rest of the staff. It was my way or the highway, and they never kind of had that, you know, they weren't on the same page with the coaching staff. And that's something I think has changed, and you saw it in the draft. You saw it in the moves, the small moves they made during free agency with the pickups they're making throughout the week, even if it is undrafted guys, guys on the waiver wire. It seems like the coaching staff and Chris Greer are at least, you know, on the same page.
Exactly. And that's the biggest thing you just said is he's got a coach. We've got a coach. Granted, I'm not crowning him, you know, the best coach in the NFL, but he's taken literally 10-day-old lemons that are just disgusting and not even close to being ripe, and he's made pretty edible lemonade, pretty drinkable lemonade. So for that, we got ourselves a coach that might have been the worst now. But you get the point. We've got ourselves a coach.
Right. To hit on a last note here, for anybody here at FIU, of course, I've put out a lot of stuff. Making sure to go check out my podcast with Corey and Eric. Where can they find you? Twitter, PFN, wherever you want to plug.
Yeah, absolutely. Just give me a follow on Twitter. Especially if you like debates. I like to get in debates with about any topic. Roddy PFN, RODDY PFN. And more importantly, just give Pro Football Network that's where all the magic's happening. And I'm actually going to be out in Vegas for the draft. So start throwing me some draft questions if you got. I'll be joined by Gallimore PFN. We'll be out in Vegas. So give me a follow. And Kai, I'd love to come on as often as you'll have me and just talk about America's. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I would love to continue to have you on. Hopefully as well as some PFN stuff, and not only some FIU, but thank you for coming on, especially on extreme short notice, both to myself and to you. Were willing, and thank you so much. Hopefully all of you guys at FIU really liked it. You can find me as well on Twitter at Samurai Radio, SamuraiI Radio. And we will see you guys on Monday for another podcast. I'm not going to say who yet because I don't want to let anybody down. Thank you guys so much for listening.